Gia, what's up, everybody? Hey, 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 how's everybody doing? There you go. Got some hypeness from the worship team. What's up, everybody? So welcome to Hot Summer Nights. Welcome to Just Ask. We're really excited that everybody's here today. My name is Pastor Romy, one of the youth pastors here. So today we're going to get into some more topics. We've covered doubt. Last week was really good. I mean, tonight we're going to talk about some good things as well as I get to lead today. But before we do that, we're going to just walk through some announcements really fast. All right, so who here comes to the prayer meeting? Sunday morning is 8:30. Who's here for that? Rocking it out. Yes. So if you'd like to get your prayer on 8:30 in the morning on Sundays, it's not like any other prayer meeting you've ever been to. Man, I want to invite all you guys to come out and check that out. It's so good. Pastor Jess is leading that as we're praying about the city. All right. If you want to be an intern, right, all the interns in here, raise your hand. They set up everything today. Could you guys give them a hand, all the interns? They was out there working in that hot sun, y'all. They was working hard. But if you want to be a summer intern, we work hard. We play hard. So it's great. They're going through Multiply with Francis Chan and David Platt, and it's really good. So if you want to get connected with Pastor Justin, if you want to get connected with other people, if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to be a leader, I would say get involved in that in summer internship, all right? The next thing we'll talk about is Lunch Bunch. That's something that we do on Wednesdays from 12 to 1. We're at the Sonic on West Battlefield. They were out there in the hot sun today, getting it in the sand. All right, and that's an invitation for everybody, all right? So if you want to come, get some lunch with us. If you want to get a volleyball in your face, come and get some. No, not really. All right, so coming up next week, we started this one last year. I think it's going to be kind of a tradition around here, but it's our American night. It's going to be Hot Summer Nights for next week, right? Yeah, yeah. What picture we got up there? There you go. Nothing says American like, yeah, Abe Lincoln with the machine gun holding up the Declaration of Independence with a grizzly bear. There you go. Bam. All right, so make sure you're here for that. I think we're going to have the dunk tank come back out, so leaders getting dunked in the tank. So that's going to be on Facebook. I'm going to say this in advance now, all right? If there's going to be voting on Facebook, everybody vote, all right? Justin, this is Justin's last summer, guys. Come on. He needs to go down. All right. I'm just saying. I got the mic. Huh? Collins Party. Yes, it's when?
This Saturday from 1 to 3, Colin, my brother, is going into the Navy. So if you want to come see him off, we're having his party on Saturday.
Here, nothing says America like seeing somebody off for the Army. All right, so let's do that. All right. Hey, Navy, my bad. We're all military.
Nobody say anything to Colin. It's a surprise party.
There you go. All right. Okay, much love for Colin. All right, so today we're going to be talking about authority, right? And a lot of people hear that word and they're probably like, I got some. All right, so we're going to talk about some of that today. But what's cool is if you have any questions, we do have some information. I know we got some new people here. Here's our email address, @thefactorystudents.com. We're on Facebook students page, on Twitter, Instagram, @factorystudents. Just hashtag them, just ask, and then we'll get that way. All right, so just like every week, this is a way that we'll kind of set up guidelines for everything. All right, so here's the guidelines. There are no dumb questions that you can ask us, and we're not going to give you guys dumb answers. All right, so ask anything. Ask away. All right, we won't try to simplify complex issues into little cliche statements. All right, little one-liners for you. We welcome any and all questions, all right? And it's been like that every week. Every week we've been getting about 15 questions. So keep bringing them. And nobody's been holding back, so get after it. It's anonymous. Get after that. All right, so here's the way that we're going to be answering questions as we go through today. All right, so we're going to answer directly from the Bible when we can. All right, if we can't do that, we're going to look for a principle found in the Bible. All right, if we can't do that, we'll give you our opinion. If we don't have an opinion on something, we're going to say we don't know and be unashamed about that. All right, so get your phones out. Everybody get your phones out. Get them out. You know you got them. All right, so here's the information, all right? Text THEFACTORY to 22333 wants to join in, right? Then you can text your message, right? And again, it's anonymous. Nobody's going to know. It'll pop up on the lap up top there as we've been doing this all week, all right? And if you don't have a phone, right, we're not trying to exclude you, right? There's a Just Ask card it's inside of every Bible right in front, right? You can take that out. You can write your question. You can give it to a leader, all right? And they'll drop it in these fish bowls, all right? So that's how we do it. So let's talk about authority. Y'all ready? Okay. Yes. So here's a quote that we're going to keep coming back to today when we're talking about authority. That's going to be a true statement. All right. That every person will always be in and under authority. All right. Every person will always be in and under authority. That even rings true for my little 8-year-old girl. When I have to step out the room, I say, hey, you're in charge, even though I'm ultimately her authority. Right. So it rings true for everybody up in cheer that we're in authority, right, over something, over somebody, but we're also under authority. Okay, so here's the three spheres of authority that we're kind of hit at right? One is home and family, right? Everybody in here, home, family. Second one, school and work. Some of you may be more school than work. And then the last one is civil and government, all right? So what we're going to be, like, discussing today is how we, like, how we're going to respond. Like, if everybody's in authority and under authority at all times in our lives, all right, like, what's our response to that, all right? So first, we got to lay the foundation of authority. So everybody grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's going to be on page 873. 1 Peter chapter 2, page 873. Okay, we're going to start at verse 13 is where we're going to start at. It's right underneath that little heading that says submission to authority. So get ready to submit. All right, so I'm going to try my best. I love these verses, so I'm not going to go preacher mode on you and just take it away. All right, I'm going to stick to it so we can get through this. All right, so 1 Peter, let's read. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. All right, pause. All right, so we're going to spit it back to you guys like this. We're going to put it underneath this heading talking about honor and authority, right? So everything that we just read, we're going to spit it back to you, right? It's saying that we're going to be subject to what every human institution, right, for the Lord, that we're going to subject ourselves, submit ourselves, right? By doing good, we put to silence ignorant people, right? It says foolish people, right? And this is the will of God. So if you've ever been wondering what's the will of God for my life, boom, I got it for you right there. There you go. All right, we're going to live as people who are free, but we're not going to allow our freedom, right, to let us, you know, try to cover up evil. Right, but we're going to live as servants. So as we are in freedom, we're going to freely live as a servant, okay? So then we're going to talk about honor and authority. And verse 17 sums up everything, right? If there's one thing you want to stick in your head, you can read verse 17. Bam, it says it right there that we're going to honor everyone. You're like, who do I honor? Everyone. Love the brotherhood, right? That's us Christians. Fear God, right? That we're going to honor the emperor. And if you're like, Romy, I don't have an emperor, right? Anyone in authority that's over you, that's who you're going to honor. All right, so pick up your Bibles for me one time. And we're going to read verses 18 through 25. We're going to finish this off. Okay? It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Oh, sorry. But if when you do good and suffer for it and endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in the body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Bam, somebody say hallelujah. I love when y'all said that. All right, here we go. We'll say, talk about servant and authority, all right? So we'll spit it back to you like this. Servant and authority. And again, we're going to be subject to all authority over us. And we're going to do this with respect, right? We're going to be doing this not only to those who are good, right? Not only to the people that are in authority over us that are good, but also to the ones that are not so good that are over us. We're going to still respect them, give honor to them, for this is a gracious thing in the sight of God, right? Because there's no credit when you do something wrong and you get punished for that. He said there's no credit for that, right? You lie to somebody, they found out, you're like, oh, that's kind of on you, right? So no credit to that. But it says when you suffer for doing good, right, you're following the steps of Jesus, right? It says to this you have been called. So we've been called to step into that, right? And Christ suffered for you. And it says leaving an example, all right? So here's the example that Jesus set for us that we're going to follow. We're going to look at Jesus in authority, all right? So this is what happens. Jesus committed no sin. Everybody say no sin, right? So when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, right? When he suffered, he didn't threaten because of his suffering, but he continued to do what? Trust God, the just God, the one who judges justly. He trusted him, right? So he did not sin, right? He did all things. He did not sin, right? He didn't revile in return. That would have been sin. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, right? He continued to trust God. So it would be what? Sin for us to what? To revile in return, right? To threaten when we suffer, and to not trust God, right? So we'll say that. But he, what, bore our sins on the cross, right, that we might die to sin,
right, and live to righteousness so that we can choose not to revile in return, that we can choose to not threaten when we're suffering, and we can choose to trust God. All right, so we're going to move on. By his wounds we're healed. And it says that we're strange sheep who have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls, right? So God, Jesus has made it possible for us, right, to respond in such a way that we don't sin, all right? So we got that. So the questions that we're going to ask tonight, the two questions, the first one is, when dealing with authority, how do I make a point without sounding argumentative or disrespectful, right? How do I do that? And then the second question is, what do I do? Well, what do you do if your parents are living the wrong way? How do you still honor them when that happens, all right? How do you still honor them when it happens, when they're living the right way, okay? So we're going to come back to the first question and answer that. So we'll read it for you one more time. When dealing with authority, how do I make a point without sounding argumentative or disrespectful? All right, so again, we're going to throw this up for you guys. Text the factory to 22333 wants to join, then text your message. Again, there's cards underneath your seat and the Bibles that you can fill out, pass to a leader. They'll bring it up in the fishbowl, all right? Again, we're keeping everything anonymous, all right? And then we're going to bring it back again to this, the same quote again, that every person is, will be always in and under authority. All right, so when we're talking about that question, how do I respond to somebody, you know, that's in authority over me and be respectful, right? I don't want to be, you know, having an argument, but I want to make a point. The point, the way that we're going to point to is in the Bible. We got a principle, and it's found between Saul and David. All right, so there's a lot of scripture that could be read. It would take us all night. But what we're going to do, I'm just going to kind of give you just a snippet track with me. Here we go. Let me take a drink. All right, here we go. Ready. All right, so Saul was chosen to be the king. Why? Because he was young, he was humble, he was handsome, and unlike any other in Israel, right? So swipe right on Saul, right? So Saul did many great things, but then when you start doing great things, you get a big head, so he started doing some disobedient and dishonoring things to God, right? So the Lord rejects him. Saul, get out of here, and he chooses David to replace him, right? And David, even though he knows he's going to be replacing Saul, well, he does what? He willingly served Saul humbly, right? So it keeps going. Everybody knows David, right? He slayed the giant, right? He slayed Goliath. And it's funny because Saul stepped to the side and let him do it, right? He kind of let David go ahead and take on that task. And so jealousy starts to enter in when you're having crowds shouting out, you know, David, you know, Saul, he's killed his thousands, but David, he's killed his 10,000s, right? So when you're in a position of authority, you hear somebody underneath you getting all that praise, you're like, okay, all right, I see how it is. So Saul, he begins to go at my man. He's trying to kill him. All right, so I don't think anybody in authority over you guys is trying to kill you presently, right? So Saul was trying to straight up kill David. All right, so here's what happens. We're going to just kind of take from two stories, right, in the midst of this. All right, so the first one, Saul, David in the cave, right? This is what we're talking about, is that Saul chased David into the mountains, right? So Saul, he went to a cave to relieve himself, right? He didn't know my man David was in there. David's friends, they're encouraging him, hey, kill this dude. He's in here. He don't know you're in here. Go ahead and take care of him, right? But David's like, he refused, right? He refuses to kill Saul, right? But he cuts off a corner of his robe, like, let him know, like, I'm here. I could have killed you. Excuse me, I could have killed you, right? So David reveals himself to Saul, like, this could have happened, all right? In the Bible, Saul is, like, on his knees, like, crying like a baby. Says he wept. He's like, you're a righteous, David. You know, like, you're a righteous guy, right? You didn't kill me. So he's thanking him, right? So, again, at the end of this, you have David being called a righteous man, like in his first story. He could have responded in a certain way to this guy in authority over him, but he responds the right way. He's called a righteous man. All right, so the second one, Saul and David, right? Saul, again, he's pursuing David, trying to kill him, right? David went to Saul's location, found him sleeping, right? Perfect time to take care of my man. Again, his friends are encouraging him, go ahead and take care of this dude and end this. And again, David did not do it, right? Because he understood that God places everybody in authority. So, all right, first story, right, he's considered a righteous man. Second story, he understands that God places everybody in authority. He wasn't going to respond that way. All right, so out of those two stories, we can take this principle right here, right, when we're talking about how we respond to authority. All right, so the first one, when you have the right thing to say, but you do it in the wrong way, it's still wrong, right? Maybe you don't have the right thing to say. Maybe it's the wrong thing to say. Even though you do it in the right way, it's still wrong. Right, so then if you do it the right thing in the right way, but if you do it at the wrong time, so like when mom comes right through the door after she's been at work and you're like, mom, we need to talk. I've got something to talk to you about. And she's like, get out of my face. You know, like that's the wrong time to do that, right? And then the last one, if you do it the right thing, you say the right thing the right way at the right time, then it'll be right. All right, right thing. If you remember anything, just remember right thing, right way, right time. Then everything is right. All right. Okay, so we're going to move on to that second question that we're talking about today. All right, so what do you do if parents are living the wrong way? How do you still honor them when that happens? All right, so we'll throw it up for you again just so you can see it. Text the factory to 22333. Once again, to join. All right, we got those cards in your Bibles. Grab those. Give them to a leader so we can get those questions up here. All right, so the Bible answers this directly. Answers it right in the beginning of the Bible. All right, but we'll read Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Again, just talking about being obedient to parents. All right, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, so, I mean, that the Bible pretty much answers that right head on. There's no way around that. All right, that obeying our parents and honoring them is the way that we're going to do. All right, so the first one, it says it's right. When we're talking about obeying and honoring parents, it's the right thing to do. Right, it's commanded. It's commanded. The third one, it will go well with us. And the last one, my favorite one, you're going to live longer, right? It says the first one with the promise, I will live longer if I'm obedient to my parents. So go ahead and obey your parents, all right? So we're all on the same page, we're going to define obedience and honor, okay? Just so we're all on the same page. All right, so to obey means to hear under authority, right? To hearken to or command, to obey, to be obedient, to submit to, all right? Then when we're talking about honor, we're talking about to estimate or fix value to evaluate what a person accurately and honestly and treat him or her with deference, humble submission, reverence, kindness, courtesy, and obedience, which his or her station in life or character demands, all right? So when we read that scripture, right, it said be obedient to your parents, right? There was a promise in that, right? There wasn't any place in there where it says be obedient to your parents only if they're living right, right? All it said was, children, if you're a child with a parent, be obedient, right? Honor them, right? So those are two things. Obey and honor doesn't say anything about if your parent is living wrong. So it's like, if your parent's not living right, just don't listen to anything they say, right? It wasn't like that. So for us who are children to parents, like our point is to be obedient and to honor them. All right, so again, what do we do if our parents are living the wrong way, right? So still, what do we do with that? All right, so we're going to point to Genesis chapter 9. I think everybody here has heard the story of Noah and the flood. This is Noah post-flood. All right, this story happens, right? So the sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these, the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. All right, so he got drunk, naked in his tent. All right, part two. And Ham and the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside, yo, everybody, dad is in there naked and drunk. 23, then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward and they did not see their father's nakedness. All right, so all right, you got one son out of the three, sees his dad drunk and naked, comes out and just kind of, I mean, we don't know who were there, but he came out and just was like, yo, everybody, yo, dad is in here drunk and butt naked, right? He just put his dad on blast, right? Like, if his dad was awake, well, he does awake, he's going to be mad. We're not going to read that part, right? He comes out there and gets at his son who is telling everybody about his nakedness, right? All right, but then you have the two sons who do the right thing, right? They recognize a dad didn't do the right thing, but they cover him, right? They just go in. They don't even look at his nakedness. They just back in, cover him, and they out, right? So we're going to say this about it, that every parent is going to make mistakes. Like, I'm a parent. I made mistakes probably today, all right? Like, every parent is going to make mistakes, right? My man Noah was chosen out of everybody in the whole dang world, him and his family, and then he got drunk and naked. Like, everybody's going to make, parents are going to make mistakes. But every parent at some point or another will live the wrong way. Like, it's just going to happen. Even if you got good parents, like, even if you are a good parent, like, it's going to happen, right? So we still have to come back and say, all right, excuse me, so how do you still honor them when that happens? When you're, well, hopefully, you aren't seeing your parents butt naked, all right, but, and drunk, but how do you still honor them when it happens? If it does. All right. So the two things that we can take away from Genesis are this right here. Is that we can be like the dude that just went in there and just told everybody, right? He just talked about their shame, talk about their sin, and by doing so, we dishonor them, right? Or we can do like the two brothers who did the right thing, that we can cover their shame and cover their sin, right, and honor them. So those are the two ways we want to go, man. That we, if out of these two, the thing that we need to choose is to honor them, right? Not to put them to shame, right? Not to dishonor them, but to honor them. All right? Okay, so how do I keep my parents from living the wrong way, right? Because, I mean, I know as a young kid, when I saw my dad, you know, like kind of being away from me, my thought was like, man, how do I bring him back, right? How does he get Jesus? come on back, Dad. Like, so the question is, like, how do you do that? How do you keep your parents from living the wrong way? All right, so we can broaden this question out to ask this. How do I keep others from living the wrong way, right? Not just my parents, but anybody. All right, so the verse that we'll kind of call to is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And it says this. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, a godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. I continue on, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony giving at the proper time. All right, so what do we do when our parents or anybody who's living the wrong way? Here's what we do, is that we have to pray. And we have to pray for them, right? Then we have to lead a peaceful and quiet life that's godly and dignified before them. Right? It's not going to help when you're just straight up bashing your parents all the time, being disrespectful to them, you know, not listening to what they're saying. They tell you to take out the trash, say, I'm going to do it in the morning. Like, that's not going to help them come back to God. Right? But when we live in such a way that we're, like, honored, we're godly before them, that's going to draw them in. All right? This is pleasing. When we do this, this is pleasing to God. God desires all people to be saved, just like how we read. So the same desire that you have for your parents to live the right way, God has that same desire. And we know that Jesus saves, that he does save. And you'll be able to share about him at the right time. Like when you're living that way, that peaceful, quiet life that's godly and dignified, you're going to have that opportunity to share to your parents about Jesus. It's going to come as long as you continue to live that way. All right? Okay, so what we're going to do now, I want you guys to kind of give it up. We're going to have our panel come up here so we can give up a hand. As they get ready to come up, we have Miss Stacy Thompson, Pastor Joey Hay, and Miss Paige McLaughlin. All right, and these guys are going to be able to put all the meat on the bones that we just put together. All right, so I'm going to pass the mic, and we can just kind of go down the line here. All right, so Miss Stacy, you can go first.
All right, hello. I know some of you still. I actually am a principal for grades 1 through 6. And I'm an assistant principal, so that means that 90% of my job is discipline. So you love me. That's what that means. But yeah, so basically, I have a position of authority over about 1,200 students every day, and it's something that I take very seriously, and I feel like God has called me to, not because I need to show people what they need to do or tell kids how to act, how to be, what kind of character they need to have, but to be an example for them and to also show, honestly, God's love, because you just never know what people are going through around you, and a lot of times students' actions are a reaction of something that's going on at home. So I definitely try to keep that in mind whenever I'm having conversations with students. I feel as though I'm really real. If somebody does something stupid, I tell them it was stupid. Okay, I'm not going to sit there and tell them, well, how do you feel about this? No, 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 that was dumb, and you shouldn't have done it, so now we're going to talk about it, okay? I really feel like there's times when before I have conversations with students, I stop and pray because I want to have the right words to reach them in that moment, and I think that as an administrator, I work with about 10 other administrators, and there's not one of them that I can honestly say doesn't have the student success in the areas, both academically and behaviorally, like in the forefront of their mind all the time. Like, they want you to succeed. Whether or not they come across like a jerk sometimes, that's probably going to happen. And you might not like everything they have to say, but I guarantee you that the heart behind what they're doing and the expectations they have set before and the expectations that I have for my students are all for their success, because I love them and I want to see them be able to reach the potential that the Lord has for them in all areas. So that's kind of just my little gist, assistant principal, lots of ISS and detention and wonderful parent phone calls, so it's good times. I have never been called a bad name ever. On the phone, never, never, that never happened. Hello.
Hi. My name name's Paige McLaughlin. Those of you who know I'm expanding my comfort limit by a long shot up here. So I brought bullet points. What I want to talk about is my childhood and how I dealt with my parents. I was one of six kids, and an older sister, Allison, and she got married when I was 13. She was like 17 years old, and she was gone. So I was really close to my four brothers. I was kind of smack dab in the middle of them, and I kind of liked it that way. I was a bit of a tomboy growing up, the elegant, calm woman that you see before you. That's something I had to learn on my own. I saw that in other women when I got older and wanted that. So I slowly learned how to be more elegant, learned that it's an attitude, ladies. So anyway, I was a big tomboy, and I had four brothers, and my brothers and I were really, really close. It didn't really matter that I was a girl to them. I found myself in the middle of a lot of dog piles growing up. So let me see. We were really, really close, and I think looking back now as an adult, we bonded over a common enemy, and that enemy was my dad. My dad was really, really abusive growing up. He was very abusive, and when I say abusive, I mean physically. He beat us up pretty bad when we were kids. It was a regular thing. He wasn't a drunk or anything like that. He was just mean. He was, I think he might have suffered from bipolar disorder. That's kind of what I think, but I don't know that. I know he, but yeah, he had a really rough life, and he took things out on us. We were really, really poor, and when I say poor, I mean like the kind of poverty that sticks with you, that follows you into adulthood, and we were really poor. So he wasn't just physically abusive, he was also mentally abusive. He was manipulative, he played games, he was confusing a lot of the time. And he thought he was so smart. He would do these things where he would try that, like, tell us one thing in order to get us to do this, but it was kind of obvious that he was doing that, and it would just confuse us, and it was ridiculous. So anyway, I have a lot of images in my head that I wish I didn't have, to just some of the things that he would do to my brothers. But one of the things growing up I learned was that I could take a hit, and that was fine. That was not a big deal. What I realized I couldn't do was stand by while he was hitting one of my brothers. And so what ended up happening was anytime he went after one of my brothers, I just couldn't stand there. I couldn't handle it. It hurt my heart too much. So I would jump in, and I'd try to stop him. And I would just end up getting beat up too. And it was kind of funny. I realized, though, over time that if I upset him enough, that he would turn his attention from them and he would just beat up me. And that kind of became the goal over a long period of time, was as long as he wasn't beating them up. Because like I said, I could take a hit. That was not a problem. I could be the whipping boy. But I just couldn't handle him hitting on them. They were my babies. They were my brothers, and I was the mom. Like, that's the way I saw it. I was the protector. So that's what I did. I would always jump in, and we ended up fighting a lot, too much. When I look back, I realize that was so stupid. What I should have done, the real point that I want to drive here is, what should I have done? I should have told somebody. If I had told somebody, I could have gotten him some help. I could have gotten me some help. I could have gotten some counseling. I could have gotten him some counseling, maybe some medication. I don't know. But I should have told someone. What were my options? My options up to this point were either get me beat up or get them beat up or get both of us beat up. I mean, there weren't really any options here. I was running out of options. I had no options. So I should have told somebody. I should have talked to somebody. And I think the thing that stopped me was fear. I was afraid that if I told somebody that they would take me away and take us away. And I was really close to my brothers. My brothers were my everything. My littlest brother, Alan, lives in Idaho right now, and it's like missing an arm. That's what it feels like. I didn't want that. I was so scared of that. And so we would get DFS called on us all the time, and I would just lie. I would just lie. And but when I was 17, I didn't handle that very well, and I never did tell anyone. And I just got beat up through my entire childhood. When I turned 17, my dad got sick. He had his first heart attack. And that was when I started picking my battles. Because he got sick, we had to keep his blood pressure down. And I would start letting him not win arguments, but basically just kind of back out of them. It was kind of weird at first, actually. I don't know why it became easier over time, but I realized that, I don't know, he wasn't perfect. You know, I wasn't either. And he wasn't going to be, and if you hold your parents to that standard, they're going to let you down because it's impossible for them to be perfect. They're not going to be. That's all there is to it. But I did have a really good point here. Okay, so in summary, if you're the person living at home and you're dealing with an abusive parent, you need to tell someone. You don't have any other options, period. I mean, there's nothing good going to come of that. You need to talk to somebody, and don't let fear stand in the way of God's plan, of the things that the Lord wants for you. Secondly, when I think about all the fighting and all the antagonizing that I did to my dad, like, I just antagonized him. I mean, that's what ended up happening later on. And then when I started picking my battles, I realized that I had control over them. It was kind of funny. We stopped fighting so much. He calmed down. We got along more. I started just doing things to make him happy. And then suddenly I felt gratified in that. I found healing in that. And I realized when people talk to me about being a Christian, the word I really hear is servant. I see myself really as a servant. And when I think of that, I think about my dad, because he was the person I served the most. He died in January, and I look back on my life with him, and I realize that if I had just picked my battles sooner, that maybe, like, we could have had a lot better years for a longer time. So I would just encourage you, if you're one of those kids at home who just fights with your parents constantly, your battle's better. There's no reason for it. It's petty. I've had enough fighting to last me a lifetime. My brothers and sisters and I don't fight anymore at all. If people try to fight with us, we're not going to, because we've had enough of it to last us forever. So that's my advice. Use pick your battles, and that's it.
Wow, thanks, Paige. It was awesome. Follow that up. Yeah, I shouldn't have passed you the mic first, second. I would like to just tag on to, though, what Paige said, because I know this is a question, and I've prayed about this a lot today, because I knew this was the question that would come up tonight. How do you honor, how do you obey an abusive parent? Or if you're forced into, if they're asking you to do things that you know are truly illegal, immoral, or ungodly, and Paige kind of stumbled onto the answer. Tell somebody. And actually, that's not dishonoring. I'm I'm a grandma, a mom, the women's pastor. I know a lot about layers of authority, and I want to tell you that your layers of authority will shift throughout your life. Right now, it may feel like everybody in your life is telling you what to do. Your parents tell you what to do. Your teachers tell you what to do. The police tell you what to do. And you're thinking, I can't wait till I'm out on my own and nobody's telling me what to do. There will always be someone telling you what to do, or there should always be someone telling you what to do. You will always be under authority, and it will go much better for you when you recognize that and when you cooperate with it. But just like Pastor Romy talking about when he leaves the room, he tells his 8-year-old daughter she's in charge. She is at that point. But when Romy comes back in the room, he's in charge. And those roles shift, and as you learn to flow with that, when I'm in here, Pastor Justin, and I'm definitely old enough to be his mom and maybe his grandma, but you know what? I'm under his authority. It's not about age. It's about a position that the Lord has you in. And I'm older actually than Pastor Gary, but I'm under his authority. Let me give you a quick example, and then we get to the questions. I have 2 adult children. George and I have a son and a daughter, and our son is married and has children of his own. Josh, my son, in some ways is still under my authority in the sense that he honors me and he respects me. Josh has children of his own. I respect and honor Josh's position of authority over his children. So if Josh corrects one of his children in front of me, and I don't think he did it just right, I keep my mouth shut because it's not my place to disrespect his authority. If I think it's serious enough, I would talk to him privately. But when I'm in his home, when he's in my home, when he's with his children, that's his role. It's not my role. So as you navigate this and as you learn about the whole sphere of authority, you'll learn more and more the roles that different people assume and have, and for you to honor that. Okay?
Can we give it up for these ladies real fast, guys? Yes. We do have some questions that are pouring in that we're going to throw back to the panel. And I'll just I'll shoot you guys a softball first. It says, what about the saying, I respect those who respect me, like respect for respect? Can you guys speak to that?
Well, I think that I have said those words. I have said those words out loud, yes. I have said that phrase, and I understand where people are coming from when they say that phrase, but it all comes back to the fact that there is somebody in authority over you in that moment, and they should, air quotes, they should show you respect, because we should respect everyone that we're having conversations with, but a lot of it comes down to your presentation, the way that you present yourself, because you're not going to be respected when you present yourself in specific ways, in specific lights, and the ways that you communicate to people. That can be a way that you are going to keep yourself from being respected, point blank. Like, when a student comes into my office and the hand is flying, all right, and the head is moving, at that moment, they need to sit and simmer, and then we will talk. Because at that moment, I'm not respecting anything that's coming out of their mouth. And they probably won't be respecting my response to them in that moment. So sometimes it's all about the presentation and about the way that you are going to communicate, because you want to be respected. There's not anybody in this room that does not want to be given respect. And you know what? Most of the time, you probably deserve to be given respect. But it's all in the way that you present yourself. And I think that is a very valuable lesson that everyone has to, they have to learn. You just do. And there's going to be times when I know that I still lose my cool. And there's times when even like, okay, so my husband, let's say that. I mean, not that I'm like not the best wife ever, but I think that there are times when I lose my cool and I need to be showing him better respect, because there's still authorities over me, even though I'm an authority figure over so many other students. Like, my husband is the head of our household. he is an authority over me at times, okay? And I'm totally cool with that because, you know what, I want him to have that role because that is his God-given role. Now, with that said, I'm not perfect, okay? Nobody is. And so it's all in the presentation, and when I come at him with a disagreement, it's in the way that I come at him with a disagreement as to how that disagreement's going to go down. And I think everyone can say that you've had moments where you presented yourself in a wonderful light and you were given the respect that you deserved. And then there were times when, and there might be people, honestly, that are just going to be jerks to you. Can we just say that? Like, it's probably going to happen, but you don't have to be a jerk back. You don't have to be. And you have to have self-control and you have to have self-respect. And if you respect yourself and if you present yourself well, and I keep saying that, the presentation is everything. I really believe that, so.
Hold yourself to a higher standard, basically, than they are. You can't control what they're gonna do, but you can control yourself.
Okay, so next question. I think this might be going from Ms. Page. This person says they end up getting scared and lying to DFS when it comes time to talking about abuse. So if there's anything you can speak to about that?
Well, like I said, I did that, and it did not end well for me. It just progressed, all the abuse that I dealt with. There are things in this world, the curse with what you put in your head in this world is that you remember things that you don't want to, and you forget things that you want to remember. And there are things that I don't want to remember about my childhood, but I didn't stop them from happening because I did that. I lied, and I didn't want to be taken away because I was scared. So my advice to that would be the best way to beat fear is to, this is kind of funny, but I actually dealt with this last year. I prayed a lot last year for a supernatural fear of the Lord because I felt like if I could fear the Lord, then I wouldn't fear anything else. If he's got me, if he's in control of my life, then what's there to be afraid of, right? So I just let go. I did the right thing. Last year I prayed about all that. So I would just let go and do the right thing, and you need to talk to somebody. That's all there's to it.
I just want to tag on to that. If you're here and you've been afraid to talk, and I know Paige is not trying in any way to blame you or to shame you. We want to empower you. This is so important. The people over you that you need to respect, that you need to honor, that you need to obey. Remember, there's, as I said, there are multiple layers of authority. And even if this is a parent and it's a very ungodly, immoral, illegal situation, there are layers of authority over them. And that's, you go to a school counselor, you come to a pastor, you go to one of your leaders. And that's an honoring thing to stop the cycle. That's not a dishonoring thing. That's an honoring thing.
And I'll just kind of ask these questions just in following up with Pastor Joey was saying. One person asked, they said, what do you do if you tell someone in authority that you're being abused by another person in authority and they do nothing, right? Then this other question, it says, I'm being sexually abused by an authority figure of mine. What should I do to stop it? All right, so if you're in this room, right, you have many people in this room that you can come to today. Because so if that's happening to you right now, if abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, if those things are happening, you have Pastor Joey here. Justin, if you're not comfortable with us, there's leaders in the room that you can go to. But again, that those things need to come out today so healing can happen. All right, so just even everything that Pastor Joey was saying, just to follow up in that, man, make sure you guys come to us today because we want that to end. All right? Okay. Next question, I'll throw this one to the panel. What do I do if my parents don't want me to come to church? What should I do with that? Those in authority over me.
Oh, I get that one. Maybe I can address that from a personal level. I didn't come to Christ until I was in college. And when I presented that to my parents, I did it very poorly. And it really scared them. And they were very resistant. Now, I was almost out of the home, so they couldn't keep me from going to church. But I created a lot of that dynamic by the way I presented my newfound faith in Christ. I sounded like a crazy person, I'm sure. So a lot of times parents will resist you going to church because they just don't understand, or they don't know, or they're not informed of what this is about. The first thing I would suggest you do is have an honest, respectful conversation with them and say, why do you not want me to go to church? Is it hope? Is it church altogether? What is it about church? And maybe start a dialogue with your parents. If it's just a matter of they don't understand, they don't know, say, hey, could, you know, maybe we go out, have Coke with Pastor Justin or Pastor Romy, and find out that these people are real, you know, they don't carry snakes in their back pockets, and they're not really crazy people. These are people who are going to tell me to respect you and to honor you, and I'm going to be a better person for this. But I think what you start with is communication and dialogue.
That's good. Okay, all right. We'll follow up with another question. All right. If someone is continually disrespecting, antagonizing, hurtful, and manipulative towards me, is it wrong to have nothing to do with them? Who wants to take it? Yeah.
I would say that I deal with a lot of friend issues in my office. A lot of relationship issues come to me. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that there is a time when you do have to separate yourself from people. That doesn't mean that you have to be hateful about it. That doesn't mean that you have to do it not in a loving way. But sometimes that there are people in your life that don't need to be in your life anymore. That doesn't mean that you can't pray for them still. That doesn't mean that you can't still show them a respect from afar. But they don't need to be in your business. Okay, and they shouldn't have power over you either in that moment of making you feel less than, making you feel beat down. That's a choice. Now, if it's an authority figure that is over you in a specific setting, I mean, a lot of times you can't really get away from that. But if you're in a relationship, if this is a friend, if this is a coworker, that type of thing, yeah, separating yourself, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
All right, next one. This one here says, we're supposed to honor and obey our parents. True. If you are 18 years old and your parents still want full control over you and they don't agree with your plans, is it a sin? I'm guessing to disagree with your parents. I'll read it one more time. We're supposed to honor and obey our parents. But if you're 18 years old, your parents still want full control over you and they don't agree with your plans, is it a sin?
Well, yeah. Who's paying the bills? You know, I have real strong feelings about if your parents are paying your car insurance, your car payment, your cell phone, you better be listening to them. If you want to be an adult and make all your own decisions, and then get a job and get an apartment. Yes? Is that the right answer, Pastor? At 18, sorry, but you've got a lot to learn still. Your brain, here we go, Letitia, your prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain where decisions are made, not the part about like, ooh, hormones, I love her, I want that car. We're talking about, this is a good decision. That part of your brain actually does not fully mature until you're 25. That's why they like 18-year-old soldiers, because they won't think it through. They'll just charge the enemy. It's true. So your parents have got some wisdom, and I would just wonder why you're fighting the whole battle.
That's good. That's good. All right. We've got one final question here that we'll throw to the panel. It says, how does the idea of civil disobedience fit into the concept of giving into authority? Does this mean that social and political injustices such as SEG? Or the, Soji. Yeah. Soji.
Sexual orientation.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Here, I'll read it one more time. How does the idea of civil disobedience fit into the concept of giving into authority? Does this mean that social and political injustices such as Soji, I guess they were saying.
Yeah, I thought maybe dear Mr. Gandhi would come up, or Martin Luther King Jr. There is a place for civil disobedience, but it comes from a place of respect. It comes from an attitude of the heart. Go back to the right thing, the right way, at the right time. And you can protest. It is one of our greatest rights as Americans. You can protest, but it's from the heart. So are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to take the hits if you have to? It's a matter of the heart, and it's that's probably the best that I can say about it. And weigh the consequences. You're going to pay for it. There will be consequences, but if it's truly a matter of justice, then go for it.
So I would say, and if you're still operating within the law, because we are still under the law. We still have to follow the laws of our country, of our state, of our city. We have to follow those. So if you're protesting and it is, and you, I mean, you could lose something because of that, okay, for making a stand. Most times people do. But I would say it could become sinful when it is breaking the law, because then because the law is still in place for a reason, just like expectations are set before you for a reason.
Okay, so I think this person texts back in just as a response to, yeah. It says, if I pay for everything I use and want, yet my parents still want to control everything I do, what should I do? So I think that was kind of the part two to that question. So he's paying, he or she is paying for everything they use and want, and yet their parents are still trying to control everything. What should they do?
Well, if you're paying for everything, if you are 18, if you're living on your own, then we've got some boundary issues, some separation issues with your parents, and you may just need to bring a third party in to do some negotiating with you.
That's good. All right, so we've got this one from the fishbowl. Holla at the fishbowl. All right, so your parents are your authority. You do what they tell you to do. You respect them. What if they want you to do something bad and you know it? How would you deal with it? Is it wrong to tell authority no in that situation?
Absolutely. That's back to what we addressed earlier. If it's illegal, if it's immoral, I could give you examples. I mean, if your dad wants you to smoke pot with him, that's illegal. That's immoral. If he's wanting you to watch porn with him, no, you don't have to. Those kinds of things. I'm sorry, I've been doing too much research. But can we be honest? It's okay for me to be honest up here, okay? I'm old. I can be honest. I hear horrendous stories. Letitia hears horrendous stories in her counseling practice of abuse like this. It goes back to even to sexual abuse and incest within a family. You do not have to submit to that. Remember, there are layers of authority, and there's higher authority over that. You go to a counselor, you go to a clergy person, you go to a teacher, and if they don't hear you, you go to somebody else. And it's so sad because earlier someone said they went to someone and they weren't heard. I am so sorry, whoever that is. I just want to cry for you. But go to somebody else. Go to somebody else.
Okay, all right, so last question for tonight. I think Stacy could speak to this one. If your friend is being disrespectful, because I know you get in a lot of relationship stuff, if your friend is being disrespectful to their parents, how do you tell them that it's wrong? How do you get at your friend?
Well, first off, you're in relationship with them already, so that's going to be your key, because people don't care what you have to say if you're not in relationship with them. So, like, if someone comes to my office and I say, I'm so disappointed in you, that doesn't matter if I'm not in a relationship with that person. That holds no weight to them. They don't care that I'm disappointed in them, and I know that. So I don't use those types of words. And because you're in relationship with your friend, it's all going to be in your presentation. It's all going to be in the words that you choose. And they will hear your heart if you're speaking from your heart. And I think if this is a good friend, then they'll know that. And they'll respect you because you're showing them respect by trying to better their relationship with their parents. And it's all about the way that you approach the situation, because sometimes
you need to take a moment and choose your words. And I think that there's nothing wrong with pausing in the middle of your conversation and thinking about what you really want to get across to somebody, because sometimes you speak out of anger, we speak out of frustration, we speak out of hurt, and those emotions are raw emotions, and sometimes we don't come out as eloquent as we would like in those moments. So I think just really speaking from the heart, finding it's all the right time of, you know, that saying, all the three rights. So do that, okay?
Right thing, right way, right time. Bow. Hey, can we please give it up for our panel as they come off? Yes. Thank you guys so much. So awesome. Yay. All right, so the worship team is going to get ready to come up here. So everybody, come on and stand up with me. And as we've done every Wednesday, is that we've had a time to respond to everything that's been said. Everything that's been said from the panel, how they just kind of put life to all those questions. And I'll say, too, I know there was a couple questions that we couldn't get to. Just, you know, we're going to make sure we get those online. We'll get those questions answered for you guys. But here's the responses that we have for tonight after everything that's been said. And the first one has been, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, even last week we talked a little bit about God's love, his gift in giving his son and his offer. If we accept his son, that we get to live with him forever. So we want to make that available for you today. And that second one, maybe you might need to repent of sin. Maybe after today you're like, man, I haven't been being obedient, or I haven't been honoring my parents. Maybe I need to repent of that today. And I think from everything that's been said, I know a lot of healing needs to happen in the room. And let's not shy away from that and saying that, man, I need healing, whether that's emotional, physical, or spiritual, whatever you need. Again, man, we want to pray with you. We want to reach out to you. The fourth one, man, if you're just struggling with authority, I know that comes up a lot, even in today, like, you know, saying my parents want me to do the wrong thing, or this is happening. We're struggling with authority. How do we deal with that? Again, we want to get arms around. And that last one is that we want to submit to the Lord. Maybe you haven't been submitting to the Lord, and that's the first thing that needs to happen before we can even submit to other people, that we need to submit to the Lord. All right, so with every head bowed, I want every eye in here closed, except for our leaders. I'm just going to call these out. And if that's you, I want you just to be unashamed and raise your hand. Even if you got to just do a little quick pop-up, right? I want you to be unashamed and raising your hand. So this first one, if you would say, man, Pastor Romy, today I want to give my life to the one who holds all authority, Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I want to accept his love, his offer, and his son. And I want to take his gift. If you would say that's me today, just raise up your hand so we can see that. Next one. If you would say that, I need to repent of some sin. There's some sin that I want to repent of. If you would say that's me, just go ahead and put your hand up high. Yeah. Those hands. All right. Number three, if you say that you need healing in your life, whether that be whatever that is, you need healing in your life, please raise your hand. We want to pray with you. Yeah. Thank you. Number four, if you would say, hey, Romy, I'm struggling with authority. I'm struggling with authority that's over me. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Yeah. Thank you for those hands. And this last one, maybe you say, I haven't been submitting to the Lord. It's been a while. But I want to submit back to him again. I want to submit to the Lord. If you would say that's me, just raise your hand. Those hands. Let's just pray before we go into worship. If you raised your hand, we've got leaders all over this room, and we would love for you to step out in faith and find them. If not, they saw your hand and they'll come to you. But just as the faith that you had to raise your hand and to say that I'm in need, I want you to hear this. We're all in need. We're all in need. We're all desperate people. Every person in here. And the difference between those who receive and those who don't are the ones who step out. So step out today. God is waiting for you.